In the course of our study, we are taking up the dispensations of God, and we're taking up all eight of them. We're taking them up consecutively as they occur in the Scriptures, and we're toward the end. In fact, we're taking the final turn. We're in the fourth quarter, and that's today. We're in the fourth quarter of the fifth dispensation, which is the dispensation of law. A tremendous amount of Scripture goes into this dispensation, all the way from the time of the birth of Israel, early in Exodus, all the way up to the New Testament. And so we've spent several weeks there. We've spent 6 weeks or so. Maybe this is our seventh week, trying to do an overview, for better or worse, pausing to talk about key individuals. But today we're going to do some sprinting. We're going to try to skip past about 17 chapters of the Bible. We're going to try to just more or less skim over the fourth book of the Kings, also known as 2 Kings, so that we can get to the fourth quarter of Israel, which is their captivity, which captivity actually never has ended. It never has ended. There has been some amelioration of conditions. There's been what we might say better captivity or lesser captivity. But until Israel is the number one nation in the whole world, with Jesus Christ ruling with a rod of iron, the captivity is not ended. And so that's the final condition in which we'll leave Israel. And we, in our study, we're turning very near, and we insist we'll get there today, to that condition. We've broken the dispensation of law, or the nation, the history of the nation of Israel, while God has taken it up. And today God has not taken up the nation of Israel, but has set it aside. We deal with that history in four pieces. The first piece is its birth, and we see that with Moses, and associated with two men, Moses and then Joshua, who follows him. And Moses did great works, and greater works did Joshua, as Moses took them out of Egypt, but Joshua brought them into the promised land. And then we found David at the ascending point, the climax of the nation of Israel. We find David doing great military works, but Solomon bringing great glory to Israel. As a glory of that, Solomon built the temple, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the temple. And so we have Solomon. Now we've also been taking up the ministry of the prophet Elijah, and today we'll see Elijah leave the scene here below. Elijah does not see death, but Elijah is snatched up, and that's an important aspect of our study, and so we'll want to look at that. And Elijah did eight great miracles recorded in the Scriptures. And following him is Elisha, or Elisha. And Elisha does twice as many, greater works. He does 16 miracles. And we'll probably just get to reference those today. And then we'll see the decline of Israel. And we'll just assume that it continues on its downward decline, because it does. And hopefully we can introduce today King Hezekiah. And we'll see Israel's enemies dominate and take them into captivity. And that will give us then the fourth quarter of the nation of Israel. Well, we'll see that God doesn't leave them, though in captivity, he doesn't leave them without a voice. He sends his prophets with them into captivity. And we'll take a little bit of a look at Daniel the prophet. And then, of course, that period ends with the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king, one like unto Moses, who follows, but who fulfills all the Scriptures concerning the first coming of the Messiah to Israel and his rejection. And then we'll come full circle, we'll come to the dispensation of the church, which is his body, which we'll spend a little bit of time on, but we have the rest of the Bible to read. So that takes us then to where we left off yesterday. And we left off yesterday with the prophet Micaiah, and what a great prophet he is, and the wickedness of Ahab and the death of Ahab, as Ahab refused to believe the word of God. He heard the word of God, he even knew it was true, refused to believe it, and he died, and the dogs licked up his blood, and he slept with his father, and he left what all wicked men leave us, or what, let me just say, what most wicked men leave us. They leave us their wicked sons. And in fact, Ahab gave Israel a double portion. He didn't just leave one wicked son to lead Israel. He left two wicked sons. And, of course, in Judah we had Jehoshaphat, if you remember. Now, Jehoshaphat has a heart for God. Jehoshaphat is a fellow that has his weaknesses, and that his weaknesses is his associations that he makes. But he's a man who wants to hear God's voice. And he unhappily associated with Ahab. And Jehoshaphat also unhappily associated with Ahab's son. But he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to Scripture, 1 Kings 22, verse 43. But he failed to take down the high places where the people did their burnt offering. And, of course, he should have, because as the king of Judah, he has the temple, he has Jerusalem, and he ought not to have allowed people to dissemble like they did and have their burning their incense and offering up sacrifices however they felt like. So that is one of his failures. And another one of his failures is his association with Ahab. So he had a little bit of weakness. And though he began to take the Sodomites out of the land of Israel, or though his father began to take the Sodomites out of the land of Israel, one thing that Jehoshaphat did that was great was, or out of Judah, is that he took the Sodomites out of Judah. He tells us in verse 46 of the last chapter, 1 Kings, the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. And so he was all in all, well, depend on the standard, he was certainly not of the standard of David, but then again, all in all, given the conditions, pretty good king, and he died. And tells us Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. So we're going to have Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, and we're also going to have Jehoram of Ahab. So we're going to have, or taking over for Ahab. So we're going to have a couple of Jehorams, and it's going to get a little bit confusing. But we're going to skip over that because we want to focus not so much on all the lineal descendants of Ahab who go from bad to bad. I can't say bad to worse because Ahab was the worst, but they continue in the evils of their father, and they're going to bring Israel into a catastrophe, which is their captivity. But we also have Elijah and Elisha, and that's where we want to keep our focus. And so in the fourth book of the Kings, or 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, in 2 Kings, we begin to see and we're introduced to the departure of Elijah, the prophet, and the taking up of his mantle by Elisha, the prophet. We're going to look at that as soon as we come back from this brief announcement. Now, as we open on this scene of Ahab's death, you would hope things get a lot better. And as I said, no one really is quite as bad as Ahab. The scriptures tell us that. He's the worst there ever was. He's a good study because he's the worst. So this is as bad as it gets. And that way you can know if it's as bad as it gets, if you've got Ahab leading you. But Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, 17 years into Jehoshaphat's reign, the king of Judah, and he lasted only 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, the ancestor. Well, I won't say the ancestor, it's not exactly right, but the predecessor. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. Now we have such wickedness going on with the kings of Israel that we need to know if they both worship Baal and do the Asherah, or do they just do one. The idolatry of Israel is not a general thing. There is a degree of failure inside their idolatry. In fact, you'll find that the next king, his brother, Jehoram, he does evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father, but like his mother, because he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he still made Israel to sin, and he stuck to other idolatry, which his mother taught him, that Jezebel. And there are still Jezebels around, and there'll be a Jezebel to come, I believe. Jezebels teach the servants of the Lord how to keep the people in idolatry. Well, the Lord now moves slowly, and the Lord is so merciful. I mean, one of the things you see with the Lord, even Ahab, when he humbled himself before God, the Lord had mercy on him and said, okay, I'm not going to bring to pass the termination of your household in your time. I'll do it in your son's time. And then maybe when this Ahaziah dies, he only lasts 2 years, people think it's all over with, but it's not, because his brother comes in. But God is so merciful, he moves slowly. Judgment marks all of his ways, but he's slow to judge and he's swift to forgive. And this character of God is very obvious in the dealings with the nation of Israel. So God allows or brings to pass little things. And one of the things that God brings to pass to bring judgment on Israel, to remind them how much they need him, is that Moab rebels against Israel as soon as Ahab dies. Now, what was that rebellion? Well, that rebellion, first of all, it took Israel a long time. It took until David came along to really get garrisons in Moab and in Edom, and it was very hard for them to bring them under the kingdom as they should be. And the king of Moab, before he broke loose from Ahab's heritage, or broke loose from Israel, was a keeper of sheep. He was a sheep master, the scripture says. And he gave the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams and the wool thereof. But it came to pass when once Ahab died that Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. Of course, they were greatly repressed. I mean, this was a pretty stiff tax that was placed upon them. They were greatly repressed, not only by Ahab, but by his predecessors. Military men brought them under extraordinary repression. And extreme repression has never led to successful rulership. It's only led to rebellion. And rulers seem to never understand that repression leads to not to a good discipline and orderly society, but repression leads to rebellion. And it's incredible to me that in our nation, for example, we just see more and more repression and suppression of the truth, for example. So now Moab rebelled, it tells us, as the book of the Second Kings open, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. So he got injured and was quite sick from it, near to death. And he wants to know, am I going to get better? Well, he's such a wicked guy. Remember Ahaziah? He did evil, just like his father and his mother. And so he sends messenger. It says, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So this now, he says, go send to the Lord of the Flies, Baal-zebub. This is like the number one wicked, the most wicked idolatrous system. This is the deepest evil that this guy can actually send his messengers to inquire about and to see if he get better. Now therefore thus saith the Lord, it tells us in verse 4 of 2 Kings 1, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. This through the word of Elijah. Ahaziah sends his messengers to go inquire of Baal-zebub, but the angel of the Lord tells Elijah the Tishbite, you go tell the messengers, why are you going to Baal-zebub, and give him the Lord's message in answer, and that is, this guy's going to die. And Elijah departed. And now his messengers who obey Elijah turn back. He says, why are you turned back? And they said, there came a man to meet us and said to us to tell you that you are going to die. And he said, what kind of a fellow was this that told you that? And they said, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And Ahaziah said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. Well, let me just say, now, people read this, and I think they read it wrongly. It says he's a hairy man and girt with a girdle, and you can read it pretty wrongly if you want. This fella is wearing a very simple clothes. He's wearing shaggy clothes. He's wearing a very simple animal skin. In other words, this guy does not go about in refined raiment. He's not a classy dresser like some of us are. Now, me, I'm a real classy dresser. I don't want to go about in some kind of lousy clothes, so I'm a great dresser. I have great hair, and I'm a great dresser. That's me. But that's me. That Elijah, he wear very simple clothing, and I don't know. I don't think he has that great hair. Probably, you know, probably doesn't have a great haircut. But he's known, and that's the thing is, he's known. This king, and we see here the judgment that's right for this Ahaziah, because he knows who the man of God is. Here he gets a message. There's a man of God told us this. There's a guy that told us this, says you're going to die. You go, what's he look like? Well, he's dressed like this. It's Elijah the Tishbite. He knew it. And now the king is going to go arrest Elijah the Tishbite because he brought him such bad news. This is not what he should do. It's a good story. We'll skip by it. But he sends three sets of captains, military men, with 50 guys. And the first two go to take Elijah and said, look, the king says come with us, man of God. And he goes, if I'm a man of God, let fire from heaven come down and consume you and the 50 that are with you. The 51 fellas are vaporized. They came with, I suppose, clubs and so forth. Maybe they had a sword or two. But they came with their military arms. But Elijah was with God Almighty, and he brought nuclear fire upon them. He said, if I'm a man of God, then let fire from heaven come down and on you. And that's what happened to one guy, one captain and his 50, and the second captain and his 50. And then the third captain comes to Elijah, and he says, man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious, that we don't want this fire from heaven to come down upon us. And the angel of the Lord told Elijah, go down with him, don't be afraid of him. And he rose, and he went down with him. Now, that's, you don't need to be afraid of the guy that fears God. And now he goes with the king back to Samaria, and Ahaziah dies. And so he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year. Now, we see here now that the opening of the ministry of Elisha, because God has decided to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. It tells us in 2 Kings 2, it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And so these two are together. Here's Elisha, who was called. This is about 10 years later than he was called. Remember when he was called, Elijah cast his mantle. Elisha knew what that meant, and boiled his oxen, cooked them with the farm implements underneath. That's the fuel he used to cook them. And he said, and now this is 10 years later, and Elisha is hanging around with Elijah, which he'd been doing for 10 years. And the prophets all seem to know, because they're prophets, that today is the day that God is going to take Elijah up into heaven. So there's one set of prophets here, the sons of the prophets, they're called. So they're not necessarily all prophets, but they're hanging around with the prophets. They all know that today is the day that Elisha's master, they tell him, is going to be taken by God. And not he's going to die, but he's going to be taken. He says, I know that. You guys be quiet. I'm with him. I know that. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, smote some waters that they came to, and they were divided one side and on the other side. And so there they cross over the Jordan. And that's a very significant thing. We won't go into it except to say this, that this is the divided waters were the way that the children of Israel came out of Egypt into the wilderness, and the divided waters of Jordan were the way that they came into the promised land. And to remind you that as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And there's quite a picture. And now he says, Elijah says to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And I want to say something about the inclination of Elisha, because he's going to do greater works than Elijah. He's going to do twice as many, at least, and in that sense it's greater. I want to say that this is a guy whose heart was not inclined to covetousness. He could have asked Elijah for what little money he had, could have asked him for, you know, his best watch or whatever. But what he really wanted was a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And Elijah tells him, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, then you'll get that. If you don't see me, it won't be so. That's just a word from the Lord. After all, this is he's asking something that Elijah cannot give him. And let me say this now about heritage. If you want to leave your children something valuable, leave them a good example. And what's a good example? Leave them a manner of life, of faith, that they can follow. That is what Elijah left for Elisha, or Elisha. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So now, he didn't go up by the fiery chariot. He did not go with a horse of fire or a chariot of fire up into heaven. He went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And the reason that everybody thinks, I believe the reason that everybody thinks he went up in a chariot of fire is, well, now today it's because they heard it from somebody, but before that it was featured in a song, in a hymn. And that's just to remind you that people learn the scripture more by hymns than by preaching. That's why I've tried to be very careful about the songs I play on this program, even though I like them very much, because I want to keep them very accurate. And I want to keep them on very important topics. Like, I want to keep them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that he has that's in the shed blood of Christ. All right, so we now see Elisha watches Elijah taken up in a whirlwind, and of course it's windy, and the mantle of Elijah, by which Elisha was called, falls upon Elisha. And now he takes the mantle of Elijah, who he had just seen take the same mantle and strike the waters of the Jordan River. And this is the first miracle that Elijah performs. He does the same thing, and it tells us that they, the waters, parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And so there's a couple things here to be pointed out. First of all, the scripture is true, which says, others have labored, and you are entered into their labors. Here, Elisha, for 10 years, watched Elijah and was with Elijah and labored with Elijah. And now he saw that he had labored, and he takes up not the exact same place that Elijah started, but he takes up where Elijah left off. And, of course, God has a unique ministry for Elisha. He has different work for him to do than Elijah, but it is also the same work that he has to do that Elijah did. And this idea of both the same and different, Elisha did not need to be Elijah. But he entered into the work of Elijah, and the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha. Now, that is how it is with servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord inherit, as it were, or are placed into the ministry through the aegis, or they're supposed to be, through the aegis of other faithful men. That is why Timothy is warned to not lay hands suddenly on anyone and to be not partaker of other men's sins, because the laying on of the hands or the association with someone by one who has been put into the ministry is part of what God does to put another into the ministry. Now, we don't like that. We don't like it to work that way. Why don't we like it to work that way? Because it's all up to God that way. Because it's all up to God. We don't like to do it that way, so we form schools. We have cemeteries for people to go. I mean, seminaries for people to go to. We form seminaries. Now, I used to say that you don't find any of these in the scriptures, but you do. You find them there. All like a friend of mine told me when he was a friend, all the Pharisees went seminary. So you got there's an example. You say, well, now what's the matter with seminaries? There's nothing the matter with seminaries unless somebody's trying to replace the way that God does things. God raises up men in local churches, and they stay there, and they learn the ministry from a faithful man in the local church. But what do? Instead, we find a person who believes, and we don't know, he's never been tried or tested or whatever, young fella, usually or often, wants to be in the ministry, and we send him away to school. Well, look, I mean, maybe you've been away to school. I mean, those of you who've been away to school ought to know what that means. It's not anything good. You don't really learn much in college. You really don't, and maybe less than in seminary. It is very, very, very few men that I've ever met that went to seminary that know their Bibles whatsoever. In fact, I say very few because I want to leave room for somebody I'm overlooking, but no one comes to mind immediately. Certainly none of my contemporaries come to mind that I know well who went to seminary and learned the Bible. Well, here we're going to see. Now, why'd I go on that? I went off on that because that's the number one problem today in the ministry of God's Word is unqualified men leading churches and preaching the Word. That's why it's hard to enjoy the Bible, because you can't make any sense of it, because you hear it twisted, beaten, and so forth, instead of brought out the way that it actually is. So this is the first miracle of Elisha, and he comes along, and he finds some of the sons of the prophet, and they noted that the spirit of Elijah rested on Elisha, and they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves, and they want to go check and make sure, because they can't believe. They had the word of the Lord, knew that God was going to take Elijah, but they want to go look and make sure that he's gone. And at first, Elisha says, no, don't do that. And they kept urging him, and he said, okay, go ahead. And they went looking for him 3 days, and they couldn't find him. And now there's a problem. The men of the city come to Elisha, and they say, there's a situation of this city is good, but there's no water. And Elisha says, give me a new cruse and put salt in it. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters, cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. And the waters were healed unto this day according to the salt of Elisha, which he spoke. We can talk about salt and how it is that it preserves, but that's his second miracle. He heals waters of a city. And now the third miracle is an interesting one, because here come what the Bible calls, the King James Version says, there came forth little children out of the city. Well, these aren't little children. These are at least adolescents, but probably, I mean, this phrase could be a man who's under 30. This man could be, I think this phrase is only not used of a man who's 40 and above. They're not 10-year-olds. They're not 5-year-olds. These are young men. These are like hooligans. Or as one man who preached to me said, who taught me something about the ministry, said, these are a bunch of seminary students. They came forth, these fellows, out of the cities, and mocked him and said unto him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. And now they have seen and knew that, and here obviously is Elisha, apparently doesn't have a great hairdo like I have. But he has, well, he doesn't have a do at all. He shaves his head. I mean, some guys, that's the way it is for them. They just don't have any hair on top, and I guess they don't have enough money to buy a wig or to buy it to go under transplant. No, I'm just kidding about that. But he's, you know, he's bald. He's got, like the Jordan River parted, his first miracle, he had a wide part top of his head. And these guys are mocking him and say, go up. But what they're not just mocking, they call him a bald-headed guy, which is a phrase of not at all, not of respect by any means. They're deriding him. I mean, this guy lives 50 years after this time, so it's not as if he's an old man. He's not an old man. He's probably about the same age as them. They call him a bald head, and what they're really mocking is they're mocking the rapture of Elijah. And so here we have this wonderful picture of one who's taken up and another one who goes on. But they're mocking the rapture of Elijah. And so those of you who mock the rapture, you be careful. Because what happens here is he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 of these hooligans. That's no small number. 42, of course, a picture there, 42 torn, the mocking the prophet, mocking the word of God. There's that number 42, the 42 months of the Great Tribulation, where they'll rejoice because the prophets are dead. And so Elijah will prophesy 42 years in the coming period of 7 years when the prophetic clock rewinds. And then 42 months he'll prophesy, then he'll be murdered. And then he'll rise from the dead, along probably with Moses as the other. I believe those are the two prophets will be sent to Israel. And then there'll be 42 months with a bear mauling them. Well, that's the third miracle. Well, Elisha does other miracles. In third chapter, he arranges for water for some kings that are without it. In the fourth chapter, he arranges oil in as many vessels as a widow can get so that she can sell it and live. He also gives a Shunammite who is childless a son. He also raises this son from the dead later. He heals some food for the prophets. He multiplies food for the people. He comes to Naaman the Syrian, who's got leprosy. He heals Naaman. The Gehazi, his servant, who covets Naaman's goods and wants to be paid for his work, for his spiritual work, is given leprosy. And boy, would we have a lot of lepers around today if ministers of the Word of God charged for their services got leprosy. And he made iron to swim when an axe hand falls in a river, and he brings sight to the blind, and he brings blindness to the sighted. And all the way through 2 Kings chapter 6, he does these great miracles, 15 of them, those that he brings blindness to the sighted, he restores their sight. And so great is the works of the one that followed Elisha that when he dies, they open up his sepulcher, put a dead man in there, and that dead man comes back to life. That's in the 13th chapter. So we have this marvelous thing, but through all this great working of miracles, which tells us a lot about the working of miracles, evil and generations seek after signs and they get them from the Lord. Through all this great ministry and all this great miracles of Elijah, the children of Israel wax worse and worse, the kings of Israel become more and more wicked, and the fact is that they bring themselves into great captivity. And we'll be taking up the details of that captivity tomorrow. In the meantime, God, may God bless you, and may you enjoy also this wonderful song.
I'll be with the Lord.
I'll be with the Lord.
While the ages roll on.
While the ages roll on.
Through the valley of death.
Through the valley of death.
I'm sure I must go.
I'm sure I must go.
So the wages of sin.
So the wages of sin.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
I'll be judged by the deed.
I'll be judged by the deed.
And the seed I have sown.
And the seed I have sown.
And I'll live with my Savior.
And I'll live with my Savior.
While the ages roll on. While the ages roll on,
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 I'll be with my Lord,
I'll be with my Lord,
while the ages roll on,
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 while the ages roll on.
I'll be with my Lord.
I'll be with my Lord.
While the ages roll on.
While the ages roll on.
The life I have lived.